sacked by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. The Giants have always been known for their defensive prowess. Great names have dotted the Giants' landscape. And one of the greatest names of all, linebacker Sam Huff, who took an unlikely route to the Big Blue.
You know, I came from West Virginia, and as a son of a coal miner, and when I came to New York, it was just, I was like, I was born to play here. It's such a magnificent city. In Yankee Stadium, there was nothing like playing at Yankee Stadium. I mean, it was like playing in a Hall of Fame. And to be in the same locker room where Babe Ruth played and Mickey Mantle, I shared a locker with Mickey Mantle. You know, when they moved out after winning the World Series, we always were practicing at Fordham University because we had Vince Lombardi and Wellington Mara, and I think they all went to Fordham. So we used Fordham. And then we would come into that stadium, and every time you came into the Yankee Stadium, it was like coming into the Hall of Fame. It was really something very, very special. And to play there, the way we played there.
As a rookie in 1956, Huff would benefit from the tutelage of some of the most brilliant minds football has ever known.
You realize we had the greatest coaching staff in the history of the National Football League? Vince Lombardi coached the offense, and Tom Landry coached the defense, and Jim Lee Howe was the head coach.
Now, 1956 was a very special year by any standard. New York had all of a sudden awakened to the fact that there was a professional football team. And it wasn't just the Yankees. It wasn't just DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle. All of a sudden, we were selling out Yankee Stadium. I think the key to our great year was our defense. And the key to our defense was Tom Landry. The first person I know that brought intelligence, strategy, and tactics into defense was Tom Landry. And he developed the 4-3 defense, which still is the dominant defense in pro football today.
Landry's 4-3 defensive scheme was designed to take advantage of the instinctive skills of his middle linebacker, Sam Huff.
It was Tom Landry who saw something in Sam that made him think, I could turn him into a linebacker. And he was an instant linebacker. He was quick, he was smart, and he was very fast. He had great speed. And he had intelligence that you had to have to play Tom Landry's defense, number one, and to play middle linebacker was the key to it.
In this defense, the job of the four-down lineman was to keep Huff free of potential blockers, leaving him open to roam as a rover in the vicinity of the football.
Moduleski and Greer, their job really was to protect Sam. Pressure if they could, to make sure that the offensive guard was not going to get to Sam, the linebacker. They were to make sure Sam was free, and Sam loved that.
New York's amazing season culminated in the 1956 NFL Championship game, where they would host the Chicago Bears at Yankee Stadium in a finale that would climax the NFL's first year of nationally televised broadcasts. In one of the most physical games to date, Huff and the Giants' defense would dominate the Bears en route to a 47-7 victory.
As far as I'm concerned, that was when not only the Giants arrived, that was when pro football arrived.
The New York Giants win professional football's biggest prize, the World's Championship.
I was very proud of our football team. I was very proud of being in New York. What a great time of everything that took place. It was just super.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Sam Huff. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Sam Huff.
In those days, they didn't even introduce the defensive ball players. It was only the offensive ball players that were introduced before the game. And it was always, you know, ladies and gentlemen, number 16 from Southern California, Frank Gifford.
In those days, when Sam Huff was maybe making $8,000 or $9,000 in
fight in Wellington, Mara, to make it 10, I might have been making 18 or 20. That didn't sit too well with the likes of a Sam Huff.
There was a little animosity about that because we were doing, on defense, we were doing an awful lot of playing, and we were holding teams, you know, to 6 points and to 3 points. And we went 3 games, I remember, and never scored a touchdown offensively, and we won 2 of them.
Sam Huff is a great player and a great friend of mine now. He even talks to me once in a while. And because the defense did not talk to the offense, and he carried that on for many, many years. But our defense had a great deal of pride. And not only were they really good, and you talk about Andy Lovastella, Jim Katkavich, Dick Modzelewski, Rosie Greer, Emma Tunnell in the backfield, Sam Huff in the middle. This was a very, very special group of people. One of the great things that happened in one particular game, we were going back and forth. We'd three and we'd punt, and in would come the defense, they'd stop them again. But I remember coming out about the third quarter, and we had gone nowhere. And we'd three and out again, and we're walking off the field. Huff jumped in front of our offensive team, kind of jumping up and said, "Can't you guys go out there and at least hold them for a while?" Screaming and yelling. And it's a miracle we didn't have actual physical fights with them, probably because the offense knew better. It sort of personifies what Sam was all about. He had such pride in first himself, then the defense.
I was very happy with playing in New York. I was very happy having Frank Gifford as a teammate and Y.A. Tittle and Charlie Connolly and Roosevelt Brown and Roosevelt Greer and Emlyn Tunnell and Jimmy Patton and, you know, all those great ball players. They were stars in themselves.
In the years that we played against what I think is the greatest running back of all time, Jim Brown, it was fun just to watch Sam prepared for that week coming up against Cleveland. As we got closer to Sunday, it became even more and more intense. Of course, the media had picked up on this. It was Brown, Sam Huff, Brown, Sam Huff.
Sam was basically the quarterback of that defense, and he had the flair to understand that he was in New York, so he became an instant celebrity by attaching himself to my legs quite often.
We hit him whether he had the ball or not. And we knew that we had to stop Brown because their offense was built around him. Why shouldn't you? You know, the man averaged 5.2 yards a carry lifetime.
In 1958, New York would need a win versus the Browns in the final game of the year in order to make the postseason. Huff and the Giants would be up to the challenge. And as fate would have it, their opponent in the playoffs would once again be Cleveland and their dynamic running back.
And in the 58 game, I think, we had to play the Browns back-to-back. We had to beat them back-to-back. And he played out of his world. I think he shut Jimmy Brown down to something like, I don't know, half a dozen yards in one game. Jim never hurt us in either one of those two games, which was truly remarkable. Those are the games we had to win to get in to play the Baltimore Colts. And Sam, along with our defense, as they pointed out to us many, many times over, for many, many years, they won those games for us.
Huff intercepts Plum on a spectacular catch, and a 10-0 defensive epic puts the Giants in the title game with the Colts. Fans go wild celebrating football's little miracle stretch drive to the Eastern title.
With the popularity of football on the rise in 1958, Huff and Gifford would be two of New York's biggest stars, and together they would help lead the Giants back to the NFL championship game, where they would face the Baltimore Colts. A defining moment in NFL history. This battle would become known as the greatest game ever played.
Everything building to 1958 was the rebirth of pro football. I think it was the wise and very intelligent use of television that had helped this game pick up fans around the entire country. And all of a sudden, people were watching football more than anything they watched on television. And it became a real boost. I mean, it just grew up overnight. And the 58 championship game of Baltimore, played in Yankee Stadium, was a classic. The thing that set it so far apart are the great players who were recognized later in their careers or 10 years after their careers. We asked most pro football fans who played in the championship in 1958. Baltimore, New York. Johnny Unagi, I remember him, and Charlie Connolly was a quarterback. People remember that game.
Keep your eyes on Gifford at left half.
He slides out for Connerly's pass. Drives Drew Davis for a touchdown. And the amazing Giants take the lead. Connerly nails Rote on the crossover. Kyle shakes off Davis and Tassett. But Nelson hits him and the ball pops loose. Webster picks it up and gallops downfield. Pandemonium grips Yankee Stadium.
I mean, it was a crazy, crazy day. And they didn't win it so much as we lost it.
Unitas gives to Amici. The Colts are the world champions. Amici scores.
And the Colts win 23-17 as Bedlam breaks loose. Goalposts totter as Yankee Stadium, football capital of the year, closes down a glorious Giants season and the greatest game ever played.
But out of that grew these sort of bigger-than-life people. And, of course, one of the great players of all time, Johnny Unitas. He, of course, was a legendary one. Raymond Barry, great receiver. And that one game in 1958 meant so much to all of us. And it just kind of grew, and it had such an enormous impact on all of our lives.
When you look back at the history of this game and the contribution that each and every one of these ball players made, it was just such a magical time. And it was a new era coming in to pro football, which made it possible for today's television and radio and everything else and bringing the fans. And now we have the number one sport in the world, pro football.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Sam Huff. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Sam Huff.
I think we were all fortunate to play and coach in New York City in the late 50s, which was the beginning of a new era in pro football. The budding new industry called television was sweeping America, and pro football rode the crest of its popularity. Sam Huff became the symbol of a public's new awareness of a defensive football that had always been reserved before for the Jim Browns and the Johnny Unitas and the other offensive stars. Who had ever thought that we would see the day that television produced a special about a defensive player called the Violent World of Sam Huff?
Despite losing to the Baltimore Colts in the 1958 NFL Championship, known as the greatest game ever played, Huff and his Giants teammates would be thrust into the national spotlight, gaining public praise for their creative combination of strategy and exciting game day execution. For the first time in professional football, media attention was being devoted to a defense, and the advertising world would hone in on Huff's celebrity.
I think if any sport is going to make it, you have to be strong in New York. I mean, it's the media capital of the world.
Traditionally, defensive players were typecast as rugged brutes, but Huff and his group of Giants would break the mold, showing the world that they were well-rounded, intellectual men.
Today you will play pro football, riding on Sam Huff's back. We've wired him for sound with a tiny transistorized radio transmitter.
What do you do that for, 88? You do that one more time, 88, I'm going to sock you one. Don't do that. You run again, you'll get a broken nose. Don't do that. Hit me on the chin with your elbow.
That was such a great time in sports, you know. We only had 33 ball players on the team then. Alex Webster came from New Jersey, and we had Frank Gifford and Kyle Rote and Charlie Connolly on the offense. And then on defense, we had Roosevelt Greer and Dick Modzelewski, Andy Robustelli, Jim Cavage, and I shored up the middle.
Quarterbacks find Red Doggin middle guard Sam Huff the toughest in the league.
Then Y.E. Tittle came to town. I mean, all of these guys, we so blended together, and we had such great ownership with the Mara family. Wellington Mara was on the sideline at Yankee Stadium every day that we practiced. He was there, and he never said anything, but you always knew who the owner was of the New York Giants. And it had a just wonderful family. And then on Saturdays, everybody would bring their children, their boy, their kids, into Yankee Stadium to practice and play and everything else. And Wellington Mara brought his children, John and Chris and everybody. And we all brought our children to be part of that time, of that scene and it'll be something that they'll never forget.
New York would be a dominant force in the NFL during that great era when Yankee Stadium was home to the Giants. In his 8 years with the franchise, Huff and the Big Blue would capture 6 Eastern Conference titles and 1 NFL championship.
What gives you the feeling about some place is success. Success breeds success. Winning is the only thing. Lombardi used to say that.
In those 8 seasons with the Giants, Sam would amazingly never miss a game. And he played in 4 consecutive Pro Bowls with the Big Blue, spanning from 1958 to 1961. And he's still considered one of the best middle linebackers to have ever played the game.
Sam Huff, I'm looking, number 70 up there. He didn't believe that anyone could beat the Giants. He thought he was the greatest middle linebacker in the world. He was great. He thought he was, and he convinced us he was. And I think he was.
No one at the time had ever come along to play that position. But then over the years, you kept thinking, was there ever going to be another Sam Huff? We've seen a lot of great linebackers, Ray Nitschke, they come in, they take Butkus. I don't think any of them have been better than Sam Huff. And he was the heart and soul of our defense.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Sam Huff. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Sam Huff.
When I was traded from the New York Giants to the Washington Redskins, I never wanted to be traded, okay? I was very happy with playing in New York.
The Giants' great defense of the 1950s would slowly be dismantled as the decade of the 60s got underway. At the end of the 1963 season, after 8 years with the Giants, Sam would reluctantly see this great era come to a close when he was traded to the Washington Redskins.
I loved everything about the Giants. I never wanted to be traded. My 8 years with the New York Giants, I never missed a game. I played all the preseason games. I played on all the special teams. I got knocked out. I played hurt. I did everything. Ollie Sherman, I guess, or for whatever reason, decides to trade the defense. Traded Roosevelt Greer the year before, Dick Modzelewski, me, Erich Barnes, all the defense.
Huff's addition to Washington in 1964 almost instantly bolstered the squad, and the Redskins' defense would rank second in the NFL in 1965. In the Skins' second meeting with the Giants in the 1966 season, Sam would get some much-needed redemption against his former team and coach that had traded him.
A first and 10 at the Redskin 33. And Kennedy is swarmed under by Sam Huff.
Huff's sack on quarterback Tom Kennedy would be the least of the Giants' problems on this November day.
The Redskins now have it 2nd and 5 at the Giant 5. Jurgensen to A.D. Whitfield for the first score of the game.
Big Blue's depleted defense would be torched by Washington as the Redskins exploded offensively with touchdown after touchdown en route to scoring 72 points.
And he is gone. And the score is now Washington 69, New York 41. Ali Sherman numb as his Giants fall behind.
When you get a scoring game like that, proves to be the longest game that you've ever been in.
With time winding down in the fourth quarter and the Redskins well on their way to victory, surprisingly, a phantom timeout was called by Washington so that kicker Charlie Gogolak could attempt one last field goal.
It is good. And the score now goes to the Redskins 72, the Giants 41. Most points ever scored by 2 teams in 1 game in the NFL.
Calling timeout with 7 seconds left was a breach of football etiquette and a cutthroat act even for age-old rivals. But despite the criticism that Redskins coach Otto Graham would receive, sending Gogolak in wasn't even his idea.
I was the one that called timeout. Sonny came to the sideline. He said, "Who called timeout? What's going on?" I said, "I think Charlie Gogolak needs to practice."
In 1967, an ankle injury ended Huff's streak of 150 consecutive games played, and he would retire at the end of that season. But in 1969, Vince Lombardi took over as head coach of the Redskins, and he would talk Sam out of retirement. Reunited with his old Giants coach, Huff and the Redskins would have their best season since 1955, with a record of 7-5-2. Sam would retire for good after the 1969 season. In his 13-year career, Huff would total 30 interceptions and 5 touchdowns. Although he ended his career with Washington, in his heart, Sam will always consider himself a New York Giant.
Those 8 years were just such great years, and then the 5 years that I played for the Washington Redskins were also good. But there was nothing like Yankee Stadium, and that's why we played so well there.
In 1982, with his mentor Tom Landry introducing him, Sam Huff would be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I want to take this opportunity to personally thank the man who taught me how to play pro football, and of course, that is Tom Landry. I am deeply honored that all of my friends are here with me today, the greatest day of my life. Thank you very much.
And despite the fact that Sam did play for the arch-enemy Redskins, Sam Huff was truly a New York Giant. Enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame until this day, Sam Huff always considers himself part of the Giants family, a true Giants legend. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us here on Giants Chronicles on MSG.